What's up, this Coolie China?
How many more licks will it take till I get to this the nigga? Cause I've been at it since the fucker past 18.
Yo, this is your boy Ricky Rick. Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, 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 I love a Zulu girl.
This is Quest F.
Let's go. All the stars.
I feel it.
All the hits.
Yeah, I love it.
This is.
Yeah, I love
it. Madiba's Radio.
You are connected to the Law Show Science Package on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, form, and absolutely engage. The name is Katlego Mofokeng, also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets. But I am not alone. Who am I here with?
Of course, you're here with Gogo Telondlovu. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airwaves. And listen, it's about to go down. We're going to have an intimate conversation. We're going to find out a lot. We're going to just learn as well, but also get into it because there's a lot to discuss. A lot's been happening.
Too much.
Hey!
And you know, we decided that the person who is best to begin this conversation, this robust conversation after the SGD, would definitely be the yellow party that is in court currently. They're people who have lawyers.
They're like, listen, let's go to court, let's sort this out.
We have a representative from SASCO. Please let us know who you are, Mr. Sir.
Well, you're here with the deputy chairperson of SASCO at North Campus, the Coco Melon of politics, the best and yet to come out of Africa. If you didn't know, now you know. I am the Smongongong KMCB.
Oh, listen to that.
What a powerful intro.
Okay, you're a real leader if you have a tagline.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Let the people know, like, you're here and you're ready to lead type of thing.
Let me know how you got into politics.
Well, I come from a political background. Mm-hmm. I joined the ANC Youth League at the age of 16. I've always liked the concept of activism. Mm-hmm. And I've seen what politics have done for my family. Mm-hmm. So hence, that is why I decided to join politics. And I'm a person that loves change. Mm-hmm. And I love implementing new solutions. I love coming up with ideas. Hence, that is why I joined politics, because I believe that I was born to be a leader. Mm-hmm. Leaders are born. Leaders are not made. Yes.
So, born a leader, and you get into, at 16 years, that's like still high school, grade 10 vibes. Then you get to varsity. What struck you about the organization that you're currently representing?
Well, as you guys know, that the ANC and SASCO are alliances, mm-hmm. because we believe in the same concepts and same values. Mm-hmm. So when I got into university, I met up with people like Abo Oluwatu Gwelana, who taught me about politics as a pie. And kind of had a few conversations, and I initially asked him, How do I join SASCO? Because I come from the ANC Youth League anyways. As I had mentioned, we are alliance as well, or we are in alliance with SASCO. Hence, through Abo Oluwatu Gwelana, I joined SASCO.
Okay. What is the work that you have been doing with Oluwatu Gwelana that has led you to say that, you know what, I'm making a change, I'm making impact?
Well, beginning of first semester, we were working with defunded students, of which now we're not going to take the credits by myself only. We're working with other student formations as well. It was MK. It was a member of the EFF. It was ATSM. I'm not sure if I'm missing any student formation. But what we did was we were running a 1 meal a day program for defunded and unfunded students. So how a meal a day program or initiative works is a student goes to the CAF once a day before they leave or when they get to the to campus,
yeah.
and they collect a takeaway of food to take home. And what we also did, as Smongong KMCB and Oluwatu Gwelana, what we did was we used Oluwatu's car. We took out the expenses upon ourselves and put petrol, and we started delivering food to off-campus residences as well for those students who couldn't get food when they were still here on campus. And then we were also working on the issue of top-ups of campus.
Okay.
We had a meeting with the Rest Owners Association where we stated our grievances with the top-ups issue and stated why we are saying that top-ups should be scrapped, you know. And then also towards the date of elections, we were working with defunded students as well regarding the NSFAS issue. We had students that were not funded, or students that were defunded because of the template issue, the costing template issue, which is something that we did not understand. It is the school's fault or the administration's fault that they did not submit the students' costing templates on time. But then now the student has to take upon themselves the expenses, of which how do you expect someone that is dependent on NSFAS to finance their own living space, living expenses, rather? Yeah, I think that concludes what Oluwatu and I have been doing so far.
Okay, this speaks to a lot of the visibility that you've had on campus, and I think this is something that not a lot of people are aware of. Visibility is a very important thing, especially when it comes to SRC election season, especially campaigning season. So it says a lot that you have been doing all of these things, but you've also been very quiet about it, which is telling of the fact that you don't expect students to perform their poverty in order for you to help them. That is very, very helpful. I can understand that when elections came, and we had the postponement, your organization alongside other organizations decided that they would not be free and fair elections if we continued with the way that we were using our elections. So let me know about that.
Well, you mentioned something about visibility, mm-hmm. first of all. As a first year at Nelson Mandela University, I believe in the fact that...
Sorry. The reason why he's quiet right now is the fact that we all just like... looked at him.
Literally.
He's a first year and he's a deputy chairperson. That should tell you the amount of work that you must have done in the organization for you to be... Wow!
Okay!
Unpack this for us, please.
He's like,
we're so sorry to interrupt. Please unpack this for us.
Well, going back to what I was saying, as a first year at Nelson Mandela University, I'd like to believe, or I've seen that this institution has killed social spaces. First of all, there are pools all around campus, but not even a single day I've heard, maybe on Saturday, let's meet at the pool and swim for a swimming session. That has never happened. So we can't really talk to people and gain a networking base. Hence, that is why students lack political education as well. And also, what I'll say is there was, because I've been someone that did research, yeah. I heard that there was something called the Slatlani program. I think Sachin is by the Kralo or something, I'm not sure. But I heard that program was where during break, maybe when you after class, you know, just go there, find people, network, chill with comrades, chill with other students as well, get to network and get to know people. Because I believe that students vote for you because they know you and they know the type of person that you are, which is something that we killed. Not we killed, but the stakeholders or the institution have killed in this institute at Nelson Mandela University. And then now going to the elections issue, which is the main reason as why we're here today. Well, I am going to give you a brief summary of what happened, because it didn't start now just because it's elections. No, it all started from the beginning, from the appointment of the service provider. Number one, there was a stakeholders meeting, which was held here at SRC Chambers. A few colleagues asked the directors of SGD how the service provider was appointed, because number one, as students of Mandela, besides the fact that I'm a leader in SASCO or I'm in SASCO as a whole, but as a student of Mandela, we never got a memo whereby the school is saying we are advertising to get a service provider that is going to run or facilitate our elections as Nelson Mandela University. It all started there. There was no transparency with the students or the student organizations from the beginning. So till today, we do not know how that service provider was appointed. That was our first dispute against these elections. So from the beginning, now these elections are not transparent from the allocation of all the appointments of the service provider. Well, going to elections now. Before the first date that was proposed, which was in September, an electoral forum was constituted, of which I form part and parcel of that as well. In the electoral forum, we raised factors like a date was agreed upon, but we are not consulted as the electoral forum. Because I'd like to believe that elections are for students by the students. Elections are not for the school's management. So the school management tried to vilify us. And they came with dates, telling us this is the specific dates. They didn't come to us and propose, but they came. They had concluded when they came to us, you know. And then moving on to elections, the big day. So what happened was around 5 past 8 to 8:30 rather. First years were not receiving their access pins or access keys. We sent a message to the facilitator that we were in contact with from KDBS. She said that, no, guys, by 10:30, first years will get their access keys. Okay, we waited. 10:30, nothing. First years don't get their access pins, yes. And then we filed a dispute at SASCO. Right after 10:30, we filed a dispute at SASCO, disputing the fact that how can first years not get access pins? It didn't make sense. How can you give me a nomination pin, but you can't give me a voting access pin? That really doesn't make sense. Okay, then the electoral forum later convened a meeting on that day. In that meeting, we questioned the service provider. Guys, what is happening? The service provider told us that the reason as to why we first years, or the first years of Mandela, could not get access pins was simply because a wrong template was submitted, which does not make sense. For nominations, right? Yeah. You submitted the 2025 template, yeah. Right? And first years could get pins, nomination pins. Yeah. And then all of a sudden now that when it's voting, how can you submit the wrong one? So you had two files basically. You had the 2025 one and the 2024 one. Yeah. For nominations, you submitted the right one. So now why for voting can't you submit that one? You didn't have it. Yeah. You see, there's a lot of questions surrounding the voting process that took place at Mandela. Well, something that they said as well, when we questioned them, they said that they can minus vote of those people that are not eligible to vote or that should not be voting, which raised a very big concern to us as student formations as well, that if you can minus votes, then you can surely add votes. How can you interfere with an election system? That doesn't make sense. You cannot have access to such. And then we suggested that the elections for that day should be nullified. And a new date should be proposed. Emphasis on proposed.
Okay.
As part of the electoral forum. And then there was an agreement before the meeting concluded was that, well, we're going to convene an electoral committee meeting, which consists of the dean of students and I think the founder of KDBS. Okay, the meeting set. We concluded our meeting as the electoral forum, and then a meeting set of the electoral commission or electoral committee, of which we expected them to get back to us as the electoral forum and be like, guys, we convened a meeting with the EC. And this is a date that we are proposing for elections. Because according to the constitution, yes, it says that elections should sit within 60 days of postponement, right? We are not against that. What we were against is they did not propose a date to us as it was agreed upon. They called a meeting here, it was a Saturday, same week. They called a meeting here where they were telling us what the dates that they have agreed upon is, of which we disputed that as well. The dean of students was here, Dr. Mkun. We spoke to him about that and why we were disputing those dates. We filed disputes. Those disputes were turned back on. Nobody responded to our disputes from the beginning of the elections procedure or process. So the school decided on that day, I think it was either on that day of the Saturday meeting or the following day, which was Sunday, they released a memo.
Yes.
How can you release a memo to students whereby there's still a dispute by student formations about the dates regarding elections? Because as I said, once again, these elections are for students, by the students, not the management. And then, they did not respond to our disputes. Elections went on Monday and Tuesday. And there was a meeting that we had with people that we are in alliance with we're not really in alliance with them, but then we came together as student formations that were against this whole system, yeah. Which was the MK and PASMA. We met and we decided that we are not going to be contesting or campaigning for these elections. And the reasons as to why these three organizations did not campaign for the elections is, number one, we are not confident with the service provided. And I'd like to believe that institutions in South Africa that still use online elections to facilitate the SRC elections, they are killing student activism. We say that bring back IEC into institutions so that elections are fair. That was our only request. And our request, and also I think there's been this conception that no, SASCO, MK, and PASMA, they were scared. We are not scared of elections. Our point of departure was that how can you participate in something that you, as a student, feel that the procedure was not fair? Mm. Hence, that's why we did not participate in elections. I think I've answered your question and beyond.
Definitely. And I feel like it's so interesting to see how basically, as you mentioned, elections are for the students, by the students. And from hearing what you're saying, you can definitely tell that there's a disconnect between not only the student organizations and the students with management in general. They're just doing whatever and expecting everybody to just comply. And I feel like it is a serious issue. And I feel like it also contributes to the low voter turnout rate, because you could assume that students also thought that, unheard in a sense. Yeah. Because it's how can we trust to put in votes to a system that might not hear us? So I'm curious to know that now, considering how you want the IEC back into basically the university and the voting system, does SASCO specifically have a sort of plan, an action plan as to how elections should be done, whether online, real life, and the step by step?
Well, as SASCO, we are proposing that, as we're saying, bring back IEC into the institution. Number one, in online elections, there are no party agents to monitor the whole process. So what happened is, during these online elections, what happens is that every student of Mandela has access to see the number of votes that are coming in, etc. But then the general elections work like this. Party agents are deployed, and party agents monitor each and every, their specific organization's voting outcome for that specific day. So for example, at the end of the first voting day, our party agent was going to be able to see that, at South Campus, SASCO is running at number 3 with 20%, not 15%, and, that is how elections are supposed to work. There were no party agents this time around. So we are not confident that our numbers or our votes were as they were announced to us, because there was no one to monitor that from us as the student organizations as a whole.
This calls into question a lot of the integrity, basically, of the elections themselves. Mm. And it makes us question whether or not the school does have our best interests at heart. But I mean, we've heard from, the SGD about the way in which they streamlined these elections and the like, and also understanding the miscommunication or the miscommunication when it came to the template situation. And understanding the fact that postponement further disenfranchised quite a lot of you, political organizations in general. And one thing about it is you chose not to campaign. You chose to opt out, but people still voted for you. So much so that you have provisional seats on the SRC. But unfortunately, it seems you are also considering legal action against the institution. How do you balance the two?
Well, for number one, what I will say is, SASCO, we believe that we are student leaders and we fight for students. We're not here to build friendships with the management of the institution. And as SASCO, we decided to take legal action to dispute the whole elections process. We are not disputing the election results, but we're disputing the process as a whole. And our stance as SASCO, which regards to the SRC seat, we are going to take the seat just because students voted and they need to be represented because they put their trust in us as SASCO, But then one thing that we will not do is, just because we got a seat in the SRC, we will stop the fight that is currently ongoing, which is the legal fight. we are going to take the seats, but legal action is still going to be ongoing. So we're going to take the seats until the court case has been concluded.
Makes sense. I think the only problem is the fact that your argument is a little flawed, in the sense that if you are arguing the process itself, it's the results are fruit of the forbidden tree. So from the consultation or the consulting company itself and the way it was adopted, from the way in which the first elections were actually held and the postponement itself, if ever the court case does conclude and it is decided that the elections were not fair and fair, that would mean you lose your seat by right. But then what would happen then is that you suggested an interim SRC happen or be created with representatives from each political organization. And then a student parliament sits. Now we are nearing the year-end exam period. And this is a very big fight against a very big system. But you're disrupting it, which says quite a lot. It says that you're not afraid to speak truth to power. What will that look like, however, creating an interim SRC in the midst of this chaos?
Well, regarding the interim SRC, an interim SRC is going to run from, okay, let me just say for 3 months. Because an SRC, an interim SRC is supposed to be temporary.
Yes.
Right. So our proposal is that elections sit next year, February, post registrations. And also when it comes to constituting the interim SRC, it is constituted by the council. As student formations, all you can do is influence. Okay. I think that answers your question.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say we do this February. Now the only problem is we're going to have a fresh set of first years coming in, which would mean, are they allowed to vote and take place and take part? There are also other people who are going to be graduating at the end of the year this year. They are concluding their examinations. What happens then? What about that gap in the middle?
Well, I'd like to believe that since these were elections that were supposed to be held in 2025,
yes,
a 2025 voters template should be used. Because it's going to be an SRC that is going to be running in 2026, not 2027. Yes. Next year's first-year students will be eligible to vote for the 2027 SRC. Okay. That's how it works.
Okay.
You bounced back pretty quick.
Literally.
You did real good.
And Speaking of this, like, interim SRC, so I assume that it's going to be, like, a collaboration between, like, all the political organizations together. But... And I know with SASCO, you have, like, collaborated with MK and PASMA, like, successfully. But now the question remains of, like, can that same collaboration also be extended to the others who may potentially not want to collaborate? How would that look?
Well, our doors were open to everyone.
Mm.
And we are not against any student formation from joining us.
Mm.
Because, as I said, we did not use this whole court case or dispute as a way of campaigning. But the reason as to why we're doing this, we're doing it for the students of Mandela.
Mm.
Hence, that's why I'm saying once again that each student formation is welcome to be part and parcel of whatever that we are currently fighting as SASCO, MK, and PASMA.
Definitely. And I do feel like at the end of the day, as you stated, it is about the students and not about the results or what must go down forward. So it's quite interesting, actually.
Mm. I mean, if we're looking at things... we can look at it twofold, right?
Mm.
If you're going to claim the seat in the SRC and you have to move forward and the case itself is nullified, it means you have a seat in SRC. You are a policy-rich organization. But more often than not, like you said, there are no social spaces. And unfortunately, it means the political education of the student body isn't really focused and concentrated on. What do you think, using that one seat and a lot of visibility, hopefully next year? I'm going to emphasize visibility next
because,
year.
Yeah.
Because, wow. So with that type of visibility and the work that you would do, what would that look like, especially considering the policies that you want? I've sat in many a BGM with them, and hearing about the NDR is actually inspiring. to hear about, because you're creating, you're pushing students towards something. So what does that look like? How do you help students conscientize themselves about the politics of not just the world, but the institution they're in, and also the province that they're in?
Well, I'd like to believe that, number one, politics or political education does not need you to be in a room and project notes in order for you to be politically educated, you know? Hence, that's why I mentioned issues like, as SASC, we are saying, bring back social spaces within the institution, whereby we are, and so I'm saying that you do not need to be in a room in order for you to discuss politics or learn and grow. Politics should be discussed in social spaces whereby everyone is free to express themselves. Because now, if I come here and put students in a room, some students are even afraid to put up their hands and ask questions. But if I'm having a one-on-one session with you, sitting at the pool, you know, mm-hmm. having cocktails, you're all going to be able to ask me questions. So hence, that is why Citizen and SASCO bring back social sports in the university.
Hmm. Social sports for cocktails. We see the real vision.
We see it.
The mission happening. No, but if I'm going to keep it a bug with you, I see the understanding of like social, you know, social scenes and cohesion and political education. It is very, very important. I think all I would ask now is what does a student parliament look like with, I'm going to have to be honest with the people. I sat in one of the election seminars. There is a very low tolerance for indifference or a differing of opinions, especially politically. How do you think you'll be able to manage a student parliament when political organizations themselves, aside from societies, do not engage with each other in a way that brings meaningful change or even creates a meaningful conversation?
Well, number one, I believe that each and every organization, well, as SASCO, we are taught to be disciplined. And I'd like to believe that every organization as well is grounded behind discipline. We, at the end of the day, we are student organizations. We're always going to have different political views. But what you saw there at the seminars were just taunting. It was students, political organizations taunting each other towards elections. I can assure you, and I can say to you that outside of politics, we do sit together, have chit-chats, you know, with students of other organizations. So I don't really think that we are going to have issues of disrespect when we have a student parliament, because it should be all grounded behind or around respect and discipline.
And for students.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this has been more than anything. We have gotten the chronology of the court case, how it happened, the reasoning behind it, and how best to move forward. I think, thank you, first of all, for honoring the invite. But more than anything, I think I should give you the space to say, what message do you have to students, especially your followers and supporters?
Well, to all the students, the lovers and sympathizers of SASCO, as SASCO, we say that we are going to continue fighting for you guys, and the job is not done. The fight is not over yet.
I love that. The job is not over yet. But of course, thank you so much for joining us. It's truly been an insightful conversation, and it's so inspiring to see what SASCO is actually going to do next, not only for the rest of the year, but for 2026 and moving forward, and to see how much change can truly be brought.
And hopefully they'll be visible.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I like it.
Madiba's Radio. Of course, you're listening to Madiba's Radio podcast, and we are here at Science Package Law Show. And of course, with icons, my name is Toko Tillandlova. I like to call myself the brightest star. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm with the fabulous, the wonderful, the iconic.
My name is Katlego Mofokeng, also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets. And you know what it is. It's post-elections interviews. And we have that red party with you today. The ones with the stars on their foreheads.
Hey.
The one and only. Sir, please introduce yourself.
Hey, thank you very much, Kat and Willow. Tuko. My name is Oletu Tawoga. I'm from the Red Party, as you say, from the EFF.
He's in full regalia, mind you.
Mm. Always prepared.
Of course.
How are we feeling right now? Actually, let's take it back a little. Let's do this thing in chronology. Elections were supposed to take place on the 25th and 26th of September, but they were postponed. Did you have anything to do with that ugly poster?
Which one?
That first poster, the ugly one.
I don't recall any ugly poster.
There was an ugly poster that says SRC elections are happening on the 25th and 26th. They were postponed to the 8th and 9th, and that's when we had our first problem. They were postponed on the 8th because of the wrong template being sent to the consulting company, KDBS. Tell us about that. How did you form part of the group that did lay a dispute against said consulting company?
So we sat on an electoral forum that consists of all political organizations that are contesting elections, and the service provider, which is KDBS, and the various stakeholders within the institution, your director SGD, senior managers at SGD, the dean of students. More or less, those are the people that form part of the electoral forum and the SRC. Yes, so we upon realizing that the SRC elections are going to be postponed because of this wrong template that was sent, we said that we were ready to continue with the SRC elections, but we need assurances, you know, that the correct template must be sent so that everyone who's registered at Mandela can be able to vote. So they assured us that they are going to make sure that this time around they are going to send the correct template. When they justify themselves, they say that it was an administrative error from an IT department. But we understand this not as an error us, because we know that there is nothing that can be an error at this time of elections. There's no way. I mean, it doesn't make sense that the wrong template can be sent. Where was verification, and how can an IT department send a 2024 registration template? But what is IT to begin with? So it defeats all logics, man. So general, and it was never a mistake. We don't see it as a mistake. So on that electoral forum, we said, look, just send the correct template. Make sure that you send the template to us so that we can verify, assist you in this verification process, because seemingly you are not doing your administrative processes correctly. So we are here to assist you. Send the template to us so that we can give a heads up if it's proper. Then if it's not, then you must go and look for the proper one so that we can continue with the elections, because we do not want to postpone the elections any further. Because in any case, the elections were in a... was set on a wrong time period for students, you know, because everyone literally was busy with their academic activities, were preparing for exams. So all of us were busy writing your test ones, your test twos. So there was really no time for campaigning, and students did not really have appetite for these SRC elections because of the date. Mm-hmm. So we do not afford to postpone the date any further than it was, you know. So then they assured us that they are going to send the correct template. And then after that, we said, if the correct template has been sent, then let's continue the elections. I mean, why not? Because now everything is done correctly. And if we're all satisfied with the template, then why do we then have to postpone elections? Let's go. Let's allow students to express their feelings through a vote. And then whoever wins and leads the students of Mandela.
Well, it was said that the service provider themselves, when asked about what was happening, in order for them to, you know, correct what they had done, one of the people from the service provider said that they would remove the people who are not registered at the institution. Is this true?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's what they said. And we rejected it, because then that means they will tamper with the numbers. Mm. So if they're able to tamper with the numbers and we allow them, then that means whatever outcomes of the SRC elections, possibilities are very huge that they would have been tampered with.
But what guarantee What guarantee do you have that these elections that happened after the fact were free and fair and they were not tampered with?
There are no guarantees, Kat. I don't want to lie to you. There are no guarantees. It's an online election. Mm-hmm. We do not sit in the counting of votes, or we do not sit behind the table and dictate how the results are going to be. You know, it's only the service provider that has that kind of access to the website that counts votes and that does the election process generally. So we do not sit there We do not form part of that kind of a setup. So we really don't have 100% guarantees. And I don't want to sit here and lie and say that we are 100% sure that the SRC elections were free and fair.
Yeah.
But we are hopeful that they are. If they are not, SASCO has taken them to court.
So would you say, from this experience, would you say that this has affected the way you see specifically the SGD within the varsity and basically like the way they operate? Has this affected your relationship or does it still remain the same?
I mean, of course, these mistakes that have happened during the course of these elections, they suggest something, right? There is a certain suggestion and there's a certain narrative that they suggest. But nonetheless, we do not hold any grudges against anyone. If there was any rigging, the rigging would have started at SGT, because SGT is the one that initiates the election process with the service provider. So if there was any foul play that would have happened, it would have happened through SGT. SGT would have enabled whatever foul play that could have happened. So we are hoping that after all the audits have been done, there is no foul play that is going to be revealed. Because if that is the case, then we also as the EFF Youth Command will have but no choice to act on those revelations, right? So for now, we do not want to cast aspersions. We don't want to assume things. We want the audit process to be finalized. Once it's finalized, then we will act based on the final outcomes of the audit.
Okay, well, now we're post-elections. We have seen who has gotten seats, where, how. And we have seen that the EFF YC basically has 3 seats in the SRC, in the central SRC. We've seen the numbers. We've seen how well you've done. And although you are saying you have not done well at all, you are the second highest voted for political organization on campus. What does that mean to you and what does that mean moving forward?
We're not happy, Kat, to be the second in line. We see ourselves as the best. So when you see yourself as the best, you really don't want to imagine yourself being second to anyone. So we tried our best for these elections. We campaigned very hard. We spoke to our students. We had heart-to-heart conversations with them, very intimate. And most of them, they assured us that they are going to give us the love back that we're asking for. And they surely did. The results are there for everyone to see. But unfortunately, we came short because DASO had 500 more votes than us. So we're not happy to be number 2. And yes, of course, we have 3 seats, but the 3 seats really do not have any effect on the SRC elections, or rather on the SRC itself, because the constitution of the SRC says that the party with the highest number of votes is the one that has the prerogative to choose seats first. And then the second one is going to choose after the first one is chosen. So we're confident that DASO is going to take all the strategic positions, the ones that have more power and that sit in the relevant committees within the institution that can be able to shift and reverse certain policies to the benefit of students. That is what we wanted to achieve when we contested elections. We wanted to be the ones who actually go and sit in those committees of the institution to actually effect change in those relevant committees. You know, to name one that is very powerful, it's council. Council is the highest decision-making body of the university. So if we're not sitting there and we're just SRC members, just for the sake of, we just wear suits and ties, then it defeats the whole purpose of wanting to effect change, meaningful change. So DASO is in charge of the SRC with the forces that they have. Perhaps maybe the idea students have is that we are not far off from DASO. We have 4 and therefore we have 3 seats. So that means at least there is an equal representation. No, it's not like that. The constitution of the SRC says otherwise. So if you have 4 and you have 3, that means you are the one who has more power and you are the one who takes up all the strategic seats of the SRC. So then us, we are going to be left with the crumbs of the SRC and we'll have to take them because that is what the students of Mandela have decided for us.
You had really big aspirations during the campaigning season, so much so that you have gone and did consultations for your manifesto. How do you plan to, with the seats, yes, you may describe them as crumbs, but with the seeds, let's not assume that you already know which positions you're going to take, because ultimately, yes, the ball falls in Daso's court. But I can imagine that there are many things that, with or without the powers that be deciding, you need to do. These issues still remain. How do you plan to, especially considering registration, how do you plan to help students?
I mean, we're going to assume a role of being an official opposition. Mm-hmm. So our primary task is to hold the SRC accountable. Mm-hmm. So in January, what we usually do, we have a Sizofunda Ingani campaign. Mm-hmm. In that Sizofunda Ingani campaign, we assist in registration processes, access and enrollment. Mm-hmm. So we have desks around all the necessary offices of the university, your financial aid, your student housing, your admissions, mm-hmm. your academics. So we have desks in various offices to assist students and help and make them have a smooth transition into the following academic year. So we are going to make sure that we echo the voices of students in the departments, or rather in the committees that we'll be sitting in. As much as they are not going to be the most powerful committees, but in our small corners that we are in, we are going to make sure that we echo the voices of students and make the best of what we have. You know, because really, even those portfolios that we are going to choose, they also sit in various committees. So even those committees, we are going to make the best out of them. That is what we are going to do for our students come January and February.
I think I can appreciate what you're saying, considering the fact that this means you're going to be visible. And one thing about, I'd like to believe, the two parties that were voted for the most part, they've been visible. They've been there for students consistently. The only thing now we're looking at is that there was a very low voter turnout. Although a lot of students were eligible to vote, quite a few of them decided to vote. How do you plan to conscientize the student populace and make sure that they too take part in the politics that not only surround them but impact them?
Yeah, I mean, there is generally a political apathy amongst the youth in South Africa as a whole. So Nelson Mandela University is not a special case. So whatever happens outside of society reflects what happens in higher learning institutions. So we generally have that political apathy amongst young people in the whole country, because they don't see a reason to participate in politics because of the decay that the ANC and the government of national unity has constantly displayed to young people in South Africa. So even here at NMU, we are not a special case. Even here, in the scenario of NMU, there is a DASO that is in the SRC that is not inspiring confidence to students. So obviously students are not going to see a reason to participate in politics, because they do not see, or rather they do not feel the need, because they do not see anything happening for their benefit, you know. So one of the things that we encountered while we were campaigning, on the actual day of voting, in fact, they say, no, you know what, we would rather vote for t-shirts, because that's the only thing we will benefit from you guys. Anything outside of t-shirts would be dreams that will never come true. So they surrendered their future to a mere t-shirt because they do not see the need to participate in politics. Mm. So you would find out now that a DASO comes with Shepherd, and then a student who's going to relinquish and surrender his or her future to a Shepherd. Mm. Now we have a crisis in PSA. More than 300 students are evicted, in fact, as we are speaking. They are evicted because the leadership of DASO promised the management of PSA that they are going to pay them for unfunded students. Unfunded students are placed at PSA 163 Durban Road. So that cohort of students is being evicted because the leadership of DASO failed to pay. And we are reliably told that the budget of the SRC is exhausted. So that means there is no plan for students who are residing at 163 Durban Road as things stand. And the owner has given them a 7 days notice, and that 7 days ends tomorrow. So all the students who are in 163 tomorrow, they are going to be shelterless. They will not have a place to sleep because the leadership that is there in the SRC currently failed to uphold its commitments. Mm. You know, so that is one of the that is just one reason out of many why students do not want to participate in politics and in voting general, because they do not see the need, because they are always at the end of the stick, right? So that is one of the reasons. So how do we then remedy this kind of a situation? As the AFF Youth Command, we have so many programs, Kat, programs that seek to conscientize and rejuvenate the energy of politics around the campus. Generally, we have your Gwicho sessions regularly, we have your Red Fridays, we have your political classes. So we from time to time try by all means to engage our students and make them see the need for them to participate in politics. Because if they, in high learning institutions and as young people, they relinquish their future to t-shirts and shepherds, then that means the whole country after university is going to be in shambles, because we'll have young people who do not have the mind and the political will to understand better society, but we'll have young people who just want t-shirts and benefits from politicians. And politicians, when it comes to elections, they are going to bring the benefits. And then after the benefits, they are going to vanish. When they have vanished, that means our future then is vanishing with them. We are going to be left with a t-shirt that is going to go colorless very soon. And then it's done. So the current mindset of students needs to be fixed, needs to be refocused and recentered. So the only way to do that is for us to make sure that we do not depoliticize political things. The moment we depoliticize things like your accommodation, your financial aid, the manner in which people see things, water is not just water. There's a purification process. There's a river or there's a dam where water is being fetched from. There is someone that must go and fetch that water. There is a truck that needs to transport that water from where it comes from to the purification process. So we must not just see water as water. There are processes that bring water to the fore and make it the water that we see. So that is just one analogy of seeing things not only as they come in front of us, but understanding and appreciating the due processes that have taken place for that product to be what we see. So we want our students to really understand politics, because if you do not want to participate in politics, that means we have just surrendered your future like that. Because people who take decisions on your behalf are politicians. So politics are necessary for your daily life. You cannot do away with politics, unfortunately. And that's the reality our students need to be met with.
Definitely. And I do love how, like, you identify the fact that at the end of the day, when it comes to, like, the political apathy that students have, it's like, if that's lost, and what is our future then? Mm. So it's quite interesting. So now looking at basically the 2025 year, and specifically this year's XRC elections, and basically what has occurred, what has happened, and what you've learned, do you have any reflections regarding the overall campaign and overall what you like experienced throughout the campaign, and maybe lessons you could take into the next year?
Yeah, we have so many lessons, disappointments and successes at the same time. So one of those is this idea of one vote, one t-shirt. You know, students are telling you with confidence that, look, don't have a t-shirt, I'm not voting. And I was asking, I think I had two or three people that I asked genuinely, and I was so disappointed and hurt. I asked the students that, so we are saying that you do not vote because we don't have a t-shirt for you. So do you then understand what does that mean for you as a student? Because seldomly you will find students who do not have problems in this university. Mm-hmm. Each and every student has a problem one way or another, and they are going to need intervention from a political party. Mm-hmm. Because political parties are the ones who have weight and are the ones who understand better the space of the university. So they at least have the knowledge of where to go to and who to talk to. Mm-hmm. So from time to time, we're going to need intervention from these people who are political organization leaders. So I say to the student that, you understand that January, you're going to have so many problems pertaining to registration. are you going to ask for a T-shirt at that time? The T-shirt is not going to be there. It's going to be me that is going to be there. And surely you are going to ask for solutions from this person that you are telling now that you won't be able to vote because of a T-shirt. A T-shirt, you are going to take the T-shirt, wear it, and then the T-shirt is not going to solve your problems. So that is just one aspect that we have learned during the campaign. Number two, there is a culture that is brewing at Mandela that is very, very concerning. Students look at a popular view on Facebook and they vote based on that popular view. They do not have appetite to listen to what people are saying, to what organizations are saying. I mean, we have manifestos for a reason. A manifesto is commitments that you are making for the people who you want to lead. Say that, come January, I want to make A, B, C, and T. I want to do A, B, C, and T for you. Please vote for me because of these commitments. So students don't even care that you are bringing commitments to them. They just want a popular view on Facebook. If I'm popular on Facebook, they are going to vote for me because I'm popular. If I'm not popular, even though I bring solid commitments and solid solutions to their problems, they are not going to vote for me. So that is another culture that we've picked up during the course of the campaign. So we need to relook that culture as well. So all of this speaks to the political apathy, right? The unwillingness of students to participate in politics. Because the moment we have a conscientized students, then we at least have people that are going to make informed decisions when it comes to voting, because at least they have an appreciation of politics holistically. So now that we have this low voter turnout and this political apathy that we have, then the decisions that they make, they are based on whoever that is popular on Facebook and creates a narrative of some sort. Then they follow that narrative blindly without thinking twice. So that's the culture that we need to do away with. And then we of course, I must not only mention the negative things. There are certain good things that we came across with as well. Our students love us, you know. We've realized that the students of Mandela, despite all the problems that we've encountered, all the problems that we've had as the AFF Youth Command, but they have shown confidence in us to say that, look, we have seen your work and we have seen your efforts to fix your house and you have fixed it. Now we're willing and ready to be led by you. So they voted for us. And we do not take lightly the votes of the people who voted for us, because that alone means that there are certain people who have confidence in us and who still see us as the future. So we are really appreciative to all those people who voted for us, to the students. Some of them, they voted for us without even too much persuasion. They just voted for us because they believe in us and they listened to the commitments of the EFF and they saw that these are solid solutions that they are bringing these guys. So they deserve to be voted for. So we that is just one highlight of the good things that have happened during the course of the campaign. I mean, a lot of things have happened. My name has been peddled in a lot of scandals and dramas. I was everywhere, literally, on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, and WhatsApp statuses. My name was trending for all the wrong reasons, reasons that I do not know myself. At some point, I was told that I closed down Banana, I closed down Iza and drink with my friends. That was just one of the allegations that were out there. And then the other one was that I'm failing academically. I don't meet the requirements to be in the SRC. My name was out there. And then there's so many things that I can say that have been happening on my name. So even despite all of those things, the students of Mandela have given me and the AFF Youth Command confidence that we still see you and we still believe in you, that you can be able to lead the students from one point to another. So we really are appreciative of that, and we will thank our students in due course. And of course, we're not going to forget all these people that have voted for us come January and February, because that is the time where they will need us the most, you know, because we understand that everyone
has a challenge one way or another in January when it's registration period, you know. So we'll be there for them. Of course, we're not going to know that Kat is the one that really voted for us. Or Stigo, we were the one who voted for us. But we're going to just assist anyone who comes to us. Of course, the people who voted for us are going to come to us with confidence because they know that they voted for us. And we are going to make sure that we reciprocate that energy and assist them the best way that we can.
Okay, so what we have right now, like you said, like you mentioned earlier, SASCO is currently undergoing legal action against the institution. Should SRC elections be declared null and void, they have a system in place where there would be an interim SRC with all political formations being represented within that interim SRC and a student parliament. Do you think we are equipped for that type of system to be taking place at the school? And what do you think it would happen next year should there be re-elections, especially for your political organization?
I mean, as I've said earlier, that we're still awaiting the outcomes of the audit. Mm-hmm. If the audit comes back and there are revelations of foul play, then of course we're going to push as well for re-election to happen. But for as long as the audit comes back and says that the elections were free and fair, then we're going to accept it. I mean, we've taken a sober decision to contest elections, and we did so. We got votes. We're content with the votes that we got, because those are the people that gave us their confidence. So we're not going to ridicule them and say that, no, these elections were A, B, C, and D, and it's going to be as if we're undermining the people that have voted, right? So chances are that when we go and do a re-election, the people who voted now are not going to want to vote, because even themselves, they will see it as a futile exercise to vote. So our hope is that the elections were really free and fair, because the moment we have a re-election, then our students are not going to participate, I can guarantee you. They are not going to participate because they won't see a reason. Because already SRC elections were postponed. We voted on Wednesday. And then on Wednesday we said, no, it's null and void. Let's restart the process again. We restarted the process. And when we did, we had a low voter turnout. So it's going to be even much worse when we go for re-election should the audit come back with foul play. So we're hoping that the audit comes back and it's clear. If it's not, then we're going to support the motion that there must be a re-election and there must be an establishment of an interim SRC. You know, the interim SRC also has its limitations.
Yes.
It has many limitations because it does not have the real and necessary powers that the SRC, an elected SRC, has. So there are going to be certain powers that are stripped off for the interim SRC. But nonetheless, if that is the direction that we'll take, then we're going to have to take it. Because if the elections are not free and fair, then we need to have an interim SRC that is going to take us to a free and fair election. So SASCO is undergoing that a legal route to make sure that the elections really were free and fair. If they are not, the court is going to reveal that. And upon that revelation, SASCO obviously is going to push for a re-election, and we're going to support it, because anything that comes from court means that it has been legally proven and it has a scientific background and research. So we are not going to be opposed to such. So we're waiting patiently for all these legal processes to happen, the audit on the other side of the university and the court case of SASCO. When that process is done, we'll then have a clear direction, sense of direction, to say that, okay, now let's have an interim structure. Then the interim structure must take us to an election, perhaps next year March, because that is the most viable date that you can think of, because we can't have elections in January and February. We're still all hungover from December, and we're trying by all means to fight for our lives during that January and February in terms of academic activities and academic registration. So insofar as that, we're going to support the motion of SASCO to go for an interim SRC and a re-election. Let's hope that the court comes back with a conclusive results as soon as possible. Because if the court decides to take a two-year course or a three-year course, then I think all of us will not be here by then. So we're hoping that the court really goes faster and they don't prolong the process any further. Because we need answers now, not tomorrow.
Okay. Well, lastly, during your campaign, we had asked you about the factions within your political organization, and you'd said that you had ironed out all of the issues that you have within the party, that you were standing united together and fighting the good fight to ensure that students do vote for you, understanding that you pose a united front. Can that still be said to this day, in spite of the results from the SRC election?
Of course, Kat. The EFF still remains united. It's united more than ever. It's even worse now that we have lost elections. That means now we have a more inward-looking approach rather than focusing on governance. Because when you're in the SRC, most of your time and energy is focused on governance, your meetings with the university, the challenges of students generally. Mm-hmm. So your time is consumed by governance and its complexities. So now that we're not really in governance, we have a more inward looking approach where we're going to focus more on the organization and its growth. And I can tell you now for sure that the EFF is standing solid more than ever and is going to grow more than ever. And it's going to take over power very soon. And when it does, this university is going to shake proper.
Mm. Mm. Well, thank you very much for honoring the invite. It's been a pleasure to interview you.
Thank you very much, Kat.
The best youth station in the Bay.
Latinos Radio.